Everyone, it's me. I know I have not been the best podcast creator over the last couple weeks, and I'm really sorry for that. It's just that when I started the podcast, I didn't have any classes to attend, so I had all the free time in the world to be researching, to be making my notes, to be getting stuff together, and now I have school and free time. It's like, yep. So yeah. But I have to get back into things. I really miss recording my podcast because I think that it is so important that history is taught objectively. And the reason why I'm saying this is because this week I learned something really, really profound. And colored history is removed from world history. The very fact that I need to make a podcast to emphasize the history of colored people is wrong. World history should propound that the history of all groups, of all ethnicities, are emphasized and focused on. And even when, you know, we look at educational institutions and what they choose to highlight about the history of African people, of Indian people, of Asian people, they choose to talk about, you know, slavery and colonialism and apartheid and exploitation. And that, to me, is a bit damaging because it tells us that this is all that we were good for and that we are good for. And the only way that you get to learn the beautiful culture of these groups is if you're going to specialize. And that is just wrong. With that being said, however, I also believe that we need to talk about colonialism and slavery and apartheid and manifest destiny and exploitation and massacres and stuff, because they also tend to like brush it over. They use words like it was cruel and inhumane, but they don't tell us things like the death toll. You know, they don't tell us things like the ways in which people were killed. They don't tell us things that we really need to know, because they are trying to cover their tracks, and I also don't agree with that. So, you know, I was thinking this week, and I came up with an idea that I hope you guys find really cool. You know, October is spooky time! You know, the Halloween jingle, do-do-do, do-do-do-do-do, you know? And I really want to talk about the bloodier parts of colored history. I can't, like, talk about every single terrible bloody event because it's so much, it's not even funny. But I want to shed some light on as many as I possibly can, because I believe that we need to know and we need to get it out there. And it's so gruesome and it's so vile. It's so stomach churning, you know. But I have to talk about it. It has to be out there. We have to know. Because the only way we could move forward is if we understand how we got here in the first place. And I was like, what better time to talk about things too gruesome than the time of year where people are all here for the gruesomeness. So, yeah. So today I'm going to start actually with, in my opinion, the tamest of all forms of imperialism, which would be Manifest Destiny. So colonialism, Manifest Destiny, and imperialism are all inherently the same thing, in which it was where a dominance group exploited a sub-dominant, what group am I? A weaker group, you know, and one of the primary ways that have been genocide, and then, you know, they were just stolen the land and established systems based on their own self-interest, right? So colonialism happened first. Colonialism happened first between Britain, you know, Spain, France, so Europe, and the Caribbean and Africa primarily. Then we have Manifest Destiny, that was between white Americans and the indigenous people, and then the American government and the Caribbean and some parts of Africa. And then we have imperialism, which is where Europe went into Africa. All right, and I'm starting with Manifest Destiny simply because, in my honest opinion, I mean, it was terrible. It was gruesome. It was brutal. It was bad. It was absolutely disgusting, and I cannot believe that no repercussions were imposed against the individuals who, to this day, still carry out its doctrine, you know, but. I guess because I don't have a personal connection to it, because my ancestry does not stem from America, I guess it's the easiest for me to personally talk about. I'm not sure if that makes any sense. Is it? I mean, does it? You know, I'm not sure. I just. And as well, you know, Columbus Day just passed, and I was so glad that a lot of Americans are no longer celebrating Columbus Day, and that a lot of them wanted to be Indigenous People's Day. That is very progressive, and I am grateful for that. And I believe the definition itself of Manifest Destiny is going to upset a lot of people, because it upset me, because it assumed then that all white Americans held the same particular belief, and that is certainly not by any means the case. Like, how could you define an entire race by the actions of a bad few? You know what I'm saying? It's like they just went on the assumption that all white Americans at the time were into expansionism, and that's not true. In fact, I would say it was the rich white Americans that were into expansionism. I understand that they were probably trying to differentiate between white Americans and the indigenous peoples, but I don't think using race as the characterizer is fair. And I hope that I explained that well. So, yeah, let's just get right into Manifest Destiny. Oh my gosh, my jingles are usually in tune, but that's just not happening. I am out of shape. Wow. So this is the official definition of Manifest Destiny. So it says here that Manifest Destiny is the belief of many white Americans in the early 1800s that all land could be owned. Expansionism westwards was seen as a natural right. The ideology of Manifest Destiny was used to justify forcing Indians off their ancient lands and thus allowing the white occupation of the American West. And as I read this, I want to take back an earlier statement that I said. All of them, colonialism, Manifest Destiny, and imperialism, were equally as brutal and gruesome. I want to make sure that you'll get that across. And the only reason, like I said, that I find this easier to talk about is because, with all things, when something doesn't happen to you, although you sympathize and you can even empathize, it's still not you directly, so you don't feel the main brunt of the pain. And I guess that's why, because I mean, when we look here and we see the terrible, terrible things that they did to the indigenous people, I mean, we will feel it, because it sucks. It really does. Yeah, so where am I going? Train of thoughts, train of thoughts, train of thoughts. So, let's get a little bit of context in America. So, as we know, prior to Manifest Destiny, America was comprised of 13 colonies, okay? And the individuals who would have lived on these colonies would have been, you know, the people who recently, you know, got independence in Britain, because Manifest Destiny started in the days of Jefferson in 1803. So, you know, this would have still been fresh off the bat. We are America, And basically, America wanted to become a world power. They wanted to become the power of the Western world. They wanted to be able to combat Europe. You know, they wanted to be the most influential power in the Western Hemisphere. They wanted to be the most dominant power in the Caribbean. They just wanted to be big, bold, and beautiful. And I mean, I respect that. I really, really do. But I don't respect in any form or fashion the way in which they went about doing it. So, you know, they're there, they're chilling with their 13 colonies, you know, and the indigenous people who lived there for centuries, thousands even of years, you know, rightfully, of course, rightfully so, are living on their land, you know, and because, I mean, prior to, you know, Britain moving in and France moving in, when it was just Spain and Francisco Pizarro and Hernan Cortes and all of these Spanish conquistadors, they came in, they killed our boy Montezuma, rest in peace, they killed our boy Atahualpa, also rest in peace, you know, they killed millions of indigenous people. In fact, the indigenous population, I believe, was going down by 33% every year. You know, that's just, like, ridiculous. And, I mean, so it wasn't as though the new Americans were the ones who started killing the indigenous people. It happened way before. In fact, Spain had this thing called the convoy system, where they stripped Central America of all their money, sorry, not money, of all their gold, all of their minerals, all of their resources, and through this really, I don't want to say high-tech, this really exclusive and this really protected ship system, for 200 years, they just trained Central America and South America of all their wealth and took it for themselves. Yeah, that happened. You know, so the concept of exploiting Native Americans, Native Indians, you know, that is not new at all. So let's start with the start to Manifest Destiny was actually really freaking peaceful. You know, basically what happened was that in 1803, Thomas Jefferson purchased the vast Louisiana territory for $15 million from Emperor Napoleon I of France. You know, that's basically what happened. And for those of you who don't know, basically at this point in time, Napoleon was trying to get shit under control in Haiti because the Haitian Revolution, you know, successful, you know, it's like they are freeing the slaves. What is going on in my colony? Oh my gosh, I need to get a hold of my colony. So, I mean, he didn't really mind getting Louisiana off of his hands because at the end of the day, Saint-Domingue, which is what Haiti was previously called, was by far the richest colony, not just in France, but probably in the entire West Indies. It was called the Pearl of the Indies. They were pretty thin. 40% of the world's sugar, you know, it was like, there is no possible way that I can lose my most valuable colony. So Napoleon was just focusing on that. And I need a sip of water, so. Cool. Yeah, so, Thomas Jefferson was able to approve this purchase. Let's go into exactly what happened, alright? So, what happened was that, sorry guys, it's been a while, okay, it's been a while. Yeah, so Jefferson sent James Monroe to France to negotiate the purchase of the port and any lands to the east, right? And this would have been because New Orleans trade was limited because of, you know, the entirety of America was not owned by America. There were other countries who owned other parts of America, and thus trade was restricted. And honestly, all they wanted was New Orleans. That was the only territory they were interested in, because the Louisiana Purchase, I should have specified this, was huge. Okay? But I'll get more into that. And by the time of his arrival in France, Napoleon had already abandoned his colonial plans and informed the American minister in Paris, Robert Livingston, that he was willing to sell the whole of Louisiana for $15 million. Livingston and Monroe having been authorized to spend up to $10 million on New Orleans and lands to the east were now being offered almost half of the remaining continent to the west, of which New Orleans was a tiny but significant part. Without time to consult and fearing Napoleon might change his mind, they quickly signed a treaty. The Senate ratified this in October, and yeah, they got the Louisiana Purchase. And this was a significant moment in American history because overnight, the idea of a nation stretching from the Atlantic to the Pacific coast of America suddenly seemed favorable, and the foundations of a major power were laid. Furthermore, the United States now controls both banks of one of the most fertile river valleys in the world. Jefferson's ideal of a republic of a self-sufficient farmers can now spread down the valley of democracy. When I post this on Instagram, I will have to cite the book where I'm getting the information for Manifest Destiny in America for, because I don't have the name of the book. I have it for the Caribbean, but not for America. That's why I'm just like reading it out here, because the title of the book, it's the physical book that I'm using for Manifest Destiny, but like the title is like non-existent, and the page only has the chapter, which is Western Expansion in the 19th Century. They don't have the book title, nor am I seeing the author, so I have to do some digging to find this. Anyways, let's go to Florida, 1819. All right, so basically, what happened was Spain owned Florida, all right? And essentially, here is what happened. Already, during the War of 1812, when Spain had allied with Britain, right, Americans had seized the opportunity to take control of most westwardly parts of Florida around Mobile and Baton Rouge. As Spain was forced to deal with a series of revolts in its southern American colonies, troops were removed from Florida, and the area became a center for outlaws and runaway slaves, as well as Seminole Indians. In 1817, General Andrew Jackson was asked by the federal government to pursue these groups after a series of raids over the border in Georgia and the Mississippi Territory. Although the government had not ordered Jackson to attack Spanish posts, this is what the triumphant general did when he seized Pensacola and St. Marks in 1818. Spain could do little to resist, struggling to maintain its empire elsewhere. It gave up Florida in 1819, as well as abandoning any claims to the Oregon Territory in the Northwest. So, yeah, America got Florida in 1819. Now, I would say that Florida and Louisiana were the only two territories that America gained respectfully and honestly. They purchased Louisiana and they fought a fair and square war. War was the norm back in the day. War was, what was accepted back in the day. They didn't, do anything that was too terrible in Florida. However, when we go now to look at like Texas and stuff, we are going to see just how bad Manifest Destiny could really get. So one important thing to note is that Texas used to be part of Mexico. Right? Funny, right? Because like now they want a wall. But it actually used to be part of like the very same place. And honestly, we're not even getting into the bad stuff yet, but yeah. So between 1836 and 1845 was essentially the struggle to get Texas. And basically, Mexico's dictator Santa Anna had accepted Texan independence because it was captured by Sam Hudson in 1836. The Americans basically, in fact, no, let me not use basically, the Americans convinced Texans to get independence in Mexico so that they could later kind of just like be like, yo, you're Texas. Do you wanna annex into us? Do you wanna join us? Do you wanna come? Oh yeah, come be part of the United States. And I mean, there was a problem though because it was like, okay, Texas, slavery, or Texas, no slavery. They dealt with all of that. Don't wanna get too much into the specifics because, I am trying to keep my more rant-like videos to the same 50-minute time frame that I set up. So, basically, after a whole debacle in Senate and stuff like that, they finally agreed to annex Texas to the United States of America, right? And Texas would be a slave state, all right? So now here's where Manifest Destiny gets really, 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 really complicated and really, really awful because we are going to Oregon, and this would have been in 1846, and the British would have occupied Oregon as well as Canada, all right? And I mean, yeah, this is just where it gets really bad because okay, I actually just like need to catch my breath for a bit because, like I said, it gets really bad. Okay, so yeah, so Oregon, so James Polk. Let me tell you guys, I never knew this man existed until like 2 months ago. But oh boy, did he like his Manifest Destiny! And oh boy, did he like killing people! And oh boy, did he like expansionism! And like, I feel like if there needed to be like a poster boy for Manifest Destiny, it should definitely, hands down, be James Polk. Like, man, so essentially, what he did, I actually, the guy was a strategist. What he did after he got elected in 1844, right? He sent okay, so American pioneers and missionaries and farmers and stuff, would have occupied Oregon, right? But it wasn't to a significant extent because British people, since it was owned by Britain, occupied the region. However, in the 1844 election, Polk, whatever his name is, I. Polk, I'll call him Polk, okay? Polk had called for the occupation of all of Oregon up to the 50 degrees 40 mile of latitude, and there was talk of war if the British did not cooperate. So off the bat, he was just like, yep, so I'm gonna send in my people, right, England, and if you guys don't cooperate, we'll just have war. Of course, Of course, no one is taking into consideration the Native Americans here at all, at all. I actually just decided that what I'm gonna have to do is I'm just gonna explain Manifest Destiny to you with the outline that I'm given now, you know, and then I'm actually going to go into the Native American casualties, because I mean, I cannot brush over the Trail of Tears. I cannot brush over the deaths. I really can't. So this is part one of Manifest Destiny, and we'll get part two. I think that's what I'll do with all of my videos. I would do it like this, guys. I'm sorry, okay? I'm trying my best. Right. So in the end, a compromise was worked out and the territory was divided at the 49th parallel, which then formed the northern border of the USA with Canada. Alright, so I mean, there was some discontent with Polk and stuff, but the Oregon Treaty of 1846, you know, they agreed. And I mean, at that time, Senate was at war with Mexico, so it was like, okay, fine, we could get this in the treaty for us to sign the treaty. However, we cannot ignore the fact that Polk basically was like, Americans, let us occupy Oregon and let's just take it from the British, because within the space of 1 year, the amount of Americans outnumbered the amount of British people living in Oregon. That's how effective Polk was. Like, damn, dude, you're evil. Ah, you're a sly one. Sly, 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 sly. Okay. So, now comes the war with Mexico. And this is where we just see the real awful shit. The real awful. Awful, awful, awful. Alright? So, California was actually the most attractive prize Mexico had to offer. Many Americans were aware of its possibilities as a gateway to the Pacific, as well as being a lush agricultural prospect. Right? Americans were living in California, but they weren't as feisty as the Americans living in Texas, and thus didn't really, like, want a revolt or anything like what they wanted in Texas, and they get an independence, and yada, yada, yada. So, here's what our President Polk did. President Polk, in 1846, sent in 4,000 troops under Zachary Taylor to a disputed area around the Rio Grande, where both Mexico and Texas claimed was theirs. He had already positioned a U.S. naval squadron off of the Californian coast and had sent an expeditionary force under Captain John Fremont into California to make topographical and scientific observations. Polk was anxious to maximize support for war by having the Mexicans make the first attack. So basically, Polk was kind of like, you know, when I'm sure we all have that one annoying friend who just like, you know, poke, 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 and then you just explode on them. I'm the friend, I'm that friend, yeah. But yeah, that's like essentially what he did. He moved quickly then. In May 1846, news reached Washington that General Taylor's troops had been attacked by Mexican troops who had crossed the Rio Grande on the 25th of April. Polk issued a war to Congress, which, with minimal opposition, authorized the president to raise 50,000 men to fight Mexico and voted him $10 million for the campaign. He had deliberately provoked a war with Mexico in a determined effort to secure California by force, once it became clear the Mexicans would not sell. And it's just like, oh, in the words of historian Hugh Brogan, a disgraceful affair. The action faced severe criticism from many New Englanders who saw it as a southern adventure. So here's what, guys. So Polk now intended to fight a war as quickly as possible, and there were quick victories ensured by Zachary Taylor, who would later become president, so here's that. And they captured, you know, a lot of places. Rio Grande was in the hands of America by February 1847. And, I mean, they basically just captured city after city after city after city after city. And then in 1848, in the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, you know, for an indemnity of $15 million, America was confirmed in Mexico. Sorry, America was confirmed in Texas and secured the entire area to the west, including California. Mexico had lost almost half its landmass overnight, whilst the USA increased by a further third, incorporating territory even larger than the Louisiana Purchase. That it had been achieved in rather dubious circumstances, paved the way for the sectional strife in the 1850s, were of little immediate consequence to the expansionists around Polk. They could rejoice in the final achievement of manifest destiny, as the still young republic now stretched from coast to coast and was undoubted power in the region. And then basically in 1853 they had the Gadsden Purchase, where for $10 million they purchased land south of New Mexico that would allow for the construction of a southern transcontinental railroad to California, because Mexico needed the money, America was handed it to them, and yeah. So guys, let me explain to you guys what it is I intend to do. So tomorrow I'm going to be recording an episode which is going to look at manifest destiny in the Caribbean, and we're going to learn about stuff like, guys, the Monroe Doctrine. You don't even right. And then on Saturday, we are going to get deep and in depth into what happened to the Native Americans during America's dance across the continent. Because it was bad, guys, and I don't want to have to rush it, because it is definitely important that I gave you guys the timeline that I gave today, that I went over the sequence of events, that I explained to you who was involved. You know, so we have Thomas Jefferson with his purchase, and then we have the election of James Polk, and he essentially just like went crazy, you know. And then we have generals Andrew Jackson, Zachary Taylor, you know. And then I also needed you guys to understand that America then was not America today. Like, Texas was a part of Mexico, California was a part of Mexico, and essentially what America wanted to do was expand from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, and that's exactly what they accomplished with Manifest Destiny. So today I told you guys how, Manifest Destiny happened. Tomorrow I'm going to go into what happened, you know? Saturday I'm going to go into what happened. Tomorrow I'm going to, because it's such a broad topic, you know, because after they expanded over the entirety of the North American continent, they then had to go to the Caribbean. Of course, America. You couldn't leave us alone. And to this day, we still face the repercussions of Manifest Destiny, particularly because of the Monroe Doctrine, you know, and the Roosevelt Corollary are two of the most despicable documents I've ever read in my whole entire life. I'm not even kidding. Anyways, I hope all of you guys are doing well. I hope you guys enjoyed this. You know, just enough getting a rhythm and a vibe and a whole like mood for my podcast. School. Yep, school. That's what education does to us kids. So, just trying to get back in the vibe, in the mood, in the swing of things, you know, getting a sequential train of thoughts and stuff like that, because it's hard. And then the creative piece that I need to do, you know, at school, because it's like I need to take time to write the pieces, and then after writing the pieces, I need to like learn them, dramatize, you know, and all of that is eventually like really, really hard. But I actually just got a really cool idea. I recently wrote like a series of poems from the perspective of different people who have been exploited in different ways. Because, I mean, I'm a black female, but I also wrote like just some really short stuff from the perspective of a black male. You know, did I really just fuck up the pronunciation of male? Oh my gosh. So, I could actually read one of those for you guys. Let's see, what are we in the mood for? Are we in the mood for... Okay, this one is called I Am a Slave. So here we go. I am a slave. There is nothing I have left of the woman I used to be. She is gone now, taken. I used to be beautiful. My smile, it could light up the world. Every man in the village asked me to be their girl. Now, I'm here in the land far, far away. Everything happened. Nothing stayed the same. I am a slave. This is not how I was born and raised. I was meant to be free. I am a slave. I am a slave. I am a slave. It makes no sense. Mama and Papa are back home, waiting for me to return. I shall never see them again. I shall never see them again. I shall never hold them again. I shall never hold them again. The white man, he touched me. He touched me. He touched me. I shall never be safe again. I shall never be safe again. I shall never be me again. I am a slave. I am a slave. I am a slave. Alright guys, so that is I Am a Slave by, well, me, Adela Scotland. It is not your traditional rhyming poem, so that's why it was so dogged. And I hope you guys liked it, you know? So I hope you guys have a great day. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please follow my Insta so that you guys can see updates and stuff like that. And yeah, thank you so much.